It was his disciples, wasn't it? The people that were closest to him. Remember the Mount of the Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were up there, and Jesus' glory came upon him. So I think this is what John's talking about there. He's saying, well, we know that Jesus is the Son of God because we've seen his glory. And it's the glory of the only, that is the unique, Son of the Father. So the Word is human, and he's the unique Word of the Father. So there's none like him. There never has been, and there never will be. Because if there was, then there'd be two sons in God, and that doesn't work. He was a unique Son of God, and he had a unique glory. Do you know that everything in creation has a particular glory attached to it that God has given it? So each one of us, God gives us a glory. Each animal has an element of God's glory on it. But Jesus had a unique kind of glory. So we learn from this that Jesus, who was with God in the beginning, it tells us in John 1:19, is near to the Father's heart. So we're beginning to build up this picture of past, present, and future. Jesus is the Son of God. He's also fully human. He was with God right before everything was created. But he is, present tense, near to the Father's heart. Now, the actual translation in 1:19 is the Father's bosom, his chest, which I think is remarkable imagery. And so when Jesus takes us into God, he takes us to a place of the Father's bosom, right up close. Okay, so maybe you're thinking, oh, I've never thought of that before, that that's what that text means, that where Jesus is, so are we. If we believe in him and we trust in him, then he takes us to that really intimate place of the Father. And perhaps you've never thought about that. I think I'd never thought about it, actually, until I saw the translation for that, how close God wants us to be in relationship with him. It's not simply that he's there in a command center, like on the Starship Enterprise, saying, make it so, to all his underlings, you know, us, and telling us what to do. We're actually sitting there on his knee in the bridge, right next to his chest while he's exterminating Klingons and all the rest of it. We get to be part of that, of the actions of God in the world, from a place of peace close to the Father's breast. And we had this word this morning in the prayer time before the service that there's peace. God wants to bring that peace. And I think it's to do with his presence and our realization of how close we are to him and our desire to be there and to want to be in that place of intimacy, because it's from there that we get his peace. The closer we are to God, the more of his peace we will get. And I know at this time of year, because I feel it myself, when the lists begin to build up, the presents for so-and-so, the food, all the rest of it at Christmas time, and I'm not down on any of that. You'll never hear from me, like some people do, in preaching how awful things are out in the world and how terrible non-Christians are about celebrating Christmas, and we know the real Christmas, da-da-da-da. I just don't like any of that, because actually we should be celebrating as hard as we can because Jesus has come. You know, what other time are you ever going to celebrate when it's that time when you're celebrating God's presence on earth? And the church needs to show the world how to celebrate in a godly way so that we enjoy food and we enjoy wine and we enjoy fellowship and time together and celebration. But it has a godly place, and it comes from that place of peace and place of security at the Father's breast where Jesus is near. So if we go back to that first verse again, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So Jesus already existed in the Godhead. He was with God, and he was God, and he is God. And he still is. So we go back to that linking passage in Genesis, where the author's talking about how God created the heavens and earth. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. So not only do we have Jesus right there at the beginning at creation, but we've also got God the Holy Spirit. And this is how we come to understand God as three persons, because the Bible clearly tells us that he's the Holy Spirit right there at the beginning with the Father. Jesus is right there with the Father. So we know that there has been this eternal, without beginning, without end, relationship between these three people in God. So how do we get, remember the illustration, how do we get from this place where we are separated from God right into the bosom of the Father? And John tells us it's this: to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become a child of God. So there's two things here that we need to do. There's a belief thing. There's actually coming to a realization of who Jesus is and believing in him. But then there's the acceptance, that step that we need to take, which is, I want to be your disciple. I want to accept you into my life. And I think that some of us maybe just get stuck in this, I believe in God, but there's the next step that the Lord is inviting us to take that sometimes we hold back on. I remember that was the deal for me. When I first became a Christian, I invited Jesus into my life, I believed in him, but I didn't become a follower of his until 6 months later. I still carried on living the way I was doing before as a student, and which allegedly was quite wild. I mean, Mark and Diane met somebody who went to university with me who knew me before I became a Christian. I said, oh, that Johnny Humphrey, he was really wild. But I said, I don't remember any of that. I don't remember being wild. But there you are. I suppose they must have seen me doing something. Anyway, I don't want to comment any further on my previous existence. But the thing is that I had to come, there was a two-stage thing for me, believing and then accepting Jesus and following him. And we need to follow him, because otherwise we're not effective in his kingdom. Believing is fine, but each one of us has a task to do. And you've heard me preach on this before, that will lead to that fullness of life coming in its ultimate expression in us. I want to get to the end of my life and say, yes, I achieved everything, Lord, that I dreamt of in you. Everything that you put into my heart to do, I want to do that. And maybe that's you this morning. What's God put in your heart? Do you want to actually meet up with him at the end of time and say, well, you know, I had these dreams, but they never came to anything. I never quite got around to doing that thing which I thought you said you wanted me to do. I don't think that would be terribly great. And so that's also my prayer this morning, is that we make this step of following Jesus, because it's the best place to be, because he can then start realizing the dreams in us that he's placed in us. And in that, we learn what it is to be a child of God in peace at the Father's chest, and working out from that basis, but also knowing the power of his Spirit to fulfill those dreams that he's sown into our heart. So I want to declare over us this morning, if there's any dreams in this, and maybe I'm praying for myself here, but anyway, I think it's a good thing to declare. If there's any dreams in this amongst the folk here, Lord, that haven't come to fruition yet, but which you have sown into hearts, then I pray they would come into fruition. We declare that the plans that you have for people, you do not disappoint, Lord, because you know the plans you have for us to bring them to fruition, to bring favor and prosperity on the things that you've called us to do for you in the kingdom. So I declare that now, Lord, that those dreams will be reawakened and will come to fruition. In Jesus' name, we pray that. Amen. So we're called to believe, we're called to follow, and as a result of those two things, we get born again. And this is another of John's mega themes in his gospel, that this importance of being born again of the Spirit. And there's a stepping into that and a desire for that to happen in our lives. It's not a physical birth, John says, resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. Now, that's in John chapter 1. Do any of you remember where that theme re-emerges again in John's Gospel. Any ideas which chapter he talks about being born again? And who was it he was talking to? Nicodemus, exactly, one of the Jewish teachers. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Is it very, very hot in here? Are you guys okay? Are you feeling it's not too hot? Okay, it's just me. I shall collapse gradually into a heap then of overheatingness. So that's one of the big themes in John, is that we're to be reborn, to invite God's Spirit to come and create this new nature. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. It brings a new nature of God into us, so that we know that we're a child of God, because that new nature, that Holy Spirit dwelling in us, bears witness. So we know that we begin to understand what it means to be a child because we have the Holy Spirit in us, leading us in truth. For those of you who have forgotten your glasses, it says, I know I am a child of God because His Spirit bears witness with mine. That's Romans chapter 8, 16. So when we get to that stage, Paul is saying, of being that child of God, knowing what our purpose is and following Jesus, since we are His children, we will share His treasures. For everything God gives to His Son, Christ, is ours too. Everything. Ha ha. So, read the story of Jesus in the Gospels. Everything. Okay, I'm going to reiterate that again. Everything that Jesus was given and what Jesus did, what Jesus said, God gives to us. So all the rights of being a son of God, a son and daughter of the Most High King, He gives us. Okay, each one of us is given the ability from God to work miracles, to heal people, to share our faith, to reach out a hand of love to someone, to draw somebody in, to feed the poor, to proclaim deliverance from demonic oppression to anybody. These are all the things which Jesus did, and we have all of those things now. That's an amazing truth. I think we just have to sit and think, what does that mean for me? That I give everything is given to us in the church that was given to Jesus. It's ours. It's astonishing. That's why Paul can also say nothing is impossible for those who believe in Jesus, because he knows that everything, all the resources of heaven are at our disposal. As Mark says, you know, they're just a prayer or a hand away, because heaven's not up there, it's all around us. We just need to step into it. And every day make that a discipline in our lives. There was somebody who was talking to me the other day about working in schools, in particular primary schools and nursery schools. And these are quite often all women environments. It's not to denigrate women at all, but when you get all women working together, there's stuff that can kick off amongst all, and women are nodding there. Men are the same, you know. If there's all men together, we don't do any emotional stuff. How's the car? It's fine. Oh, I fixed it the other day, you know. Took out the spark plugs and replaced them. I was driving my tractor. And so men kind of do all of that kind of stuff when they're together. But women, it's all the emotional stuff. So you need men and women together, really, to function well, I think, in work environments. That's my personal belief. So I have heard it on good authority that these all-women establishments are quite difficult. And so the person I was speaking to went to one of such establishments in Midlothian, I will not say which one, and reported back that that person went in and met some people, and they were very friendly, but there was one who just went, hum! It's the cold flounce, I think you would call it, of... I'm not doing it very well, but you know what I mean? It's just the cold shoulder kind of thing. The sort of, I've got issues, but they're not to do with you, but anyway, I'm letting you know I've got issues sort of movement. And so that person who was confronted with this display, rather than going, in return, went to a room and prayed God's kingdom come in that nursery, in that school. Okay, and I think there's something in that for all of us. We need to be reminded that wherever we go, God goes with us, because we're right in the middle of his love. We're right in the middle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if you can imagine, every time you go anywhere, to the shops, or spend time with your family, God comes too, and you have access at that point to everything that God has in heaven for you to bring blessing and honor and love into that situation. Just try it. If you find yourself in a difficult situation, like you're trying to return a Christmas gift which you didn't want, for example, and you find out that the return dates, you know, you've missed the return date, so you can't return your Samsung tablet because you really wanted an Apple tablet. And so you're a bit cross about that, so you want to return it. You can't do it. And you go, tempted to blow your top with the sales assistant. Just step back and go, Lord, fill me with your presence. Fill me with heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let me treat this person with honor and this situation with honor, and let's see what you can do. Because if you start from that point, then you give God the permission to actually start pouring stuff in. And so you end up getting the thing sorted anyway, but in the meantime, you've brought that fragrance of Jesus. See, the fragrance of Jesus is an experience that we're called to bring to a place, and to a time, and to a people. So try that, and let me know how you get on, just taking that time to step back and pray his presence in. Okay, now, that's all the good stuff. There's a little bit of the kind of not-so-good stuff here. If we have everything in Christ, well, we share his glory. Do you remember he had a unique glory? John was talking about his unique glory. Well, we get to share some of that unique glory. So we get to share sonship or daughtership in the Lord. And that's wonderful. We go, yes, bring on the glory. We want more of that. We want to have more of the glory of the Son of God on us. But if we share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. And just praying this morning with the group, somebody shared the word Gethsemane, which of course is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus wrestled about the fact that he was going to the cross. Folks, there is no resurrection without a death. And so for some of us, we have to die to the stuff which isn't of God. That when we start that process of living in the love of Jesus and living for his kingdom, we start to have to, we're called to, he starts to pinpoint the things in our lives and says, you know, you have to die to self. You have to pick up your cross. And in that, there is suffering. You know, following the call of God means that loving people means that you'll be rejected. And so there is suffering. But you know, I want that if it means I get some of the glory. And I think that there's a great temptation to say, oh, I like the idea of the glory, I don't like the suffering side of things, so I'll just step back. You know, I'll not take the risk of being hurt. I'll not take the risk of leaving myself open to suffering. But if we do that, then we miss out on the glory. I'm completely convinced that's why Paul has linked the two there. And he also links it to that everything in Christ. Because to have everything in Christ means we have his glory, but we also have the not-so-good stuff that he went through. I'm not saying all of us are going to end up in quite the same way Jesus did. But for every one of us, everyone who follows Jesus, there is a point where you have to say, I'm sacrificing something. And there's suffering in that. But on the other side, there's glory. And so I want to end on this positive message for us this Christmas. That our mission, your mission, my mission this Christmas, should we choose to accept it, is to carry his presence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in every situation you find yourself in. I was talking about the meeting place, about the Holy Spirit coming and remaining and living on Jesus. And there's a kind of a shoulders thing going on there. And if you read back into the Old Testament, you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the city of David, there was a kind of false alarm bit where they put the Ark of the Lord's presence on a cart, on an ox cart, and then they were just taking it in this old ox cart, and one of the people who was supposed to be in charge of transporting the Ark put his hand to steady it, a guy called Uzzah, and he ended up being fried Uzzah, because God had specifically commanded people not to do that. We need to treat the presence with care and a biblically correct way. We need to worship in a biblically correct way. We need to be mindful of God, of how God says he likes to be worshipped. And God specifically commanded that no one should be touching the ark. So this chap ended up getting fried. And then David was really worried about this. He said, oh, how can I take the Lord's presence into my city if this is what happens? And then he read up how you're supposed to carry the ark. And it's the Levites, particular people, are given the task of carrying the presence on their shoulders. It's a personal ministry that they had. And that's the picture. It's like an Old Testament symbol of what it means to carry the Holy Spirit. We carry God's presence on our shoulders, each one of us, into these situations. And so David was able to take the ark, and the Levites carried it in, and there was huge celebration, and God's presence was there in the tent in the city of David. So that's our reminder that we need to be careful of the presence, and we need to be making sure that we are carrying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and not some other kind of, you know, non-God into a situation. Just taking the time to say, Lord, what is your will and your desire that I do and I bring to this situation? So that's our challenge. So let me hear just, I want to do that. I'm going to take, as much as I am able to, I'm going to try and do that this Christmas. So is that the same for you? Let me hear a yay! Praise God. Okay, now you've set yourselves up. Ha ha. It'll be fun to see what God does through us this Christmas.